A man who's suffered with depression after being told she was unable to conceive naturally has written a book to help support new mums with their own mental health. Kathleen Crawley wanted a family with husband Paul, but unfortunately, following two ectopic pregnancies, her fallopian tubes were removed in 2010, meaning she couldn't conceive. Kathleen has done media before, having spoken out about in vitro fertilisation struggles, and she certainly had her own struggles, both physically, and it has affected her mental health. She's fine now, and first of all, I have to say thank you very much, Kathleen, for coming in and wanting to share this with us this morning.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
It's great to see you, and looking so well as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that your daughter is very well. The one that you had through IVS is now 2.5 years old and apparently quite a handful.
She is, She's probably good for a two-year-old, but they all have their challenges, don't they?
Which is nice to know. So you've certainly had yours. You met your husband, Paul. Now, we should say Paul had already got two children by a previous relationship before. You and him sort of met across a lovely dance floor or wherever it was that you did meet. You live not too far from here. You're fairly near to St. Neots. You're in the village of Ainsbury. So thank you very much for travelling to see us today. So first of all, we should explain and try and keep it without being too medical, just in case people have heard, I'm sure people have heard of ectopic pregnancies before. It happened to you twice, sadly. And I suppose the doctors must have said to you, well, Kathleen, if you try to conceive again, this could happen a third time.
Well, so it happened twice to me, and what happens is it's where you have a fertilised egg, but unfortunately it's in your fallopian tubes. And for me, it happened in both of my separate tubes, and they were removed each time. So once both tubes had been removed, that was it, really. There was no chance that I would ever get pregnant naturally again.
So this is where an egg is in the fallopian tube, and when the egg is being fertilised, fertilisation starts there. So that means instead of in the womb, the fetus is trying to develop in your fallopian tube.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really dangerous, because your tube just can't handle a baby growing there. So, and there is a risk of rupture, and it's very important that it is surgically removed. And in some cases, they'll attempt to save the fallopian tube so that you can still conceive naturally going forwards. But in both of my cases, that wasn't possible. So both tubes were removed.
And one of these ectopic pregnancies was first in one of the tubes then, and then the second one occurred. So you had one, did you have one removed, or was it stage removal for you, or did you have both taken out at the same time?
I had one removed, and then later on I fell pregnant again, and unfortunately it was ectopic, and I knew I was at high risk, but it was it still doesn't change it. It was really hard to find that out. And also, at that moment, that meant there was absolutely no chance that I would naturally conceive again, which was quite hard to come to terms with.
You wanted to be a mum. You were in love with Paul. You still are, of course, very much. You wanted to be a family girl. And, of course, I mean, your anatomy was changed forever. There was no way that you were going to conceive anymore. So at that stage, had you had some counselling?
Yes, I had counselling both times. So the first time I lost a fallopian tube, I started to suffer from anxiety then. And I didn't really realise what it related to start with, but it was very much driven through that fear of infertility, because at that point I wasn't infertile. I still had a fallopian tube and potentially could get pregnant. But coming to terms with what had happened, even though it was very early, it is still a pregnancy loss, and that was very difficult. And also, it's just a bit of a shock when things you expect to happen, or you expect your body to be able to do, it's quite hard to come to terms with when it doesn't do what feels like a natural process, I guess.
After all, you were able to conceive. You felt physically well as a younger woman. And I suppose, so you were saying earlier on, you knew you were getting anxious, but you didn't know why.
Yeah, I think sometimes with anxiety, it sort of creeps up on you. You don't necessarily wake up and think, oh, I feel really sad today. It just sort of creeps into your life. And the same with depression. And you'll have days where you don't necessarily know that you're feeling anxious or depressed, but you're not yourself, and things that would usually be normal or easy suddenly are much harder to do. Whether that's, you know, some days it might be as big as getting up in the morning, but things like at work, when I would just be having the usual conversation that I would have with people, suddenly I felt more doubt and more kind of worry about having those sort of day-to-day conversations or doing those day-to-day activities.
You just really didn't feel confident as a person anymore, inwardly.
Yeah,
even though perhaps your colleagues wouldn't have noticed at work.
Yeah.
Maybe outwardly they just thought, you know, it's Kathleen having a good rational conversation, having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really does kind of play in your own mind. And it's not necessarily a reflection of how you're operating, but it's how you perceive that you are and how you perceive yourself in the world. And actually, that's really hard to deal with because it's hard to make change because it's in your mind, I suppose.
And it was double the problem for you, Kathleen, because it was a roller coaster ride. You thought, well, okay, I still have a chance here. And then you got the news, presumably, that you had conceived. And you went along, presumably, for a routine scan at the time, for an ultrasound?
Well, with an ectopic pregnancy, it's rare that it will get that far. So actually, with my second one, I hadn't even done a pregnancy test. I got these pains, and I recognised what those pains were.
Because you'd sadly had this before.
Yeah, and I rang NHS 111, and the lady said to me, "Would you like me to call you an ambulance?" And it was at that moment that although it wasn't confirmed, I was then taken to hospital, and I knew that if I did a test and it was positive, that was more than likely it was an ectopic pregnancy.
And the other fallopian tube would have to be removed. You'd already worked ahead. You'd already thought it out.
Yeah.
And what a terrible time for you both, both you and Paul at the time. As I say, happy days now.
Yeah.
You do have an in vitro fertilisation. And you found, though, that the support you got initially, the through mental health support that you needed, wasn't really adequate for you.
Yeah, for me, so I had counselling both that first time, and I had it again once after my second ectopic pregnancy. And although it was really helpful whilst I was having counselling, they tended to last a sort of a 6-week period and you'd feel much better. And then over time, that anxiety would creep back and the depression would creep back in. And what I discovered was self-help. And I sort of gradually discovered these little techniques. And I found that by adding those into my life, I was almost, I like to think of it as sort of mind maintenance. You know how we go to the gym and we look after our bodies, but it's sort of the equivalent for mind. And so for me, just doing these activities where I was just actively engaging with how I felt and checking in with myself and kind of looking after my state of mind, that made a huge difference. And it was really empowering because it enabled me to take those moments where I was feeling good and reflect on them and grow from them. And then those days that I found difficult, I was able to kind of isolated them, and I knew they were difficult days, and I had techniques that I could just use to get through that day, but it made it less overwhelming and gave me a lot more kind of, I want to say control, that's probably a bit rich, but it made me feel like it was my mind rather than just happening around me.
And you were trying to do this, Kathleen, presumably while you were doing your day job. So this would be an evening occupation of your mind, should we say.
Yes.
Trying to get into the zone. You'd have to probably have tea with your husband.
Yeah.
And does his children share time with you as well?
Yeah, we have them half of the time. So
there was those to think about as well as your future.
Yeah.
And laying down a family as well. So you went on really through a journey, and so used some self-help books. I mean, were you able to find them in your local library? Did you look online for this material?
Initially, one was given to me by a friend who had been through a divorce and had found a book called Choice Theory, which had really helped them. And that was my kind of first way into it. And after I'd read that, it really opened my mind up to ways of thinking and this kind of realisation that there was this line of thought and these topics that could be helpful for me. From there, I tended to use the internet, tended to look at what other people were suggesting. If you look up things like books that changed my life, people will often have books that they rave about.
Mm.
And it was going through those routes that I would find different different books and different techniques. I also studied to be a life coach, more for myself. I'm more someone who likes to learn how to do things myself rather than go and get a coach for me. So I found that really helpful because I then learned what techniques you could use, and I used those on my own life, which was great.
So are you a life coach that you can throw the thoughts and ideas that you have back at other people now and help them?
That's what I hope to do. Ooh. Not as a career as such, but so the book that I've written is very much about trying to help other people. For me, a lot of the techniques that I learned through my infertility and my journey through anxiety and depression actually were incredibly helpful when I became a new mum, because there is so much change then and it can be at times so overwhelming. And don't get me wrong, it was absolutely wonderful, but just having some of those techniques was really powerful because it really gave me an advantage with myself compared to what I would have been, to really enjoy those moments and really make the most of that early time I had with my daughter, which given the journey that I'd taken to get there, was really keen that I made the most of every minute.
And it's that first year, really. I mean, we know of postnatal depression, but so your daughter was born, it's wonderful, you cherish her, both of you cherish her, but it's that first 6 months that you really still found yourself in a bit of a dark tunnel.
Yeah,
afterwards
I think it was I was probably lucky. I'm sure that many people experience postnatal depression experience more than I did. I was just very wary of my tendency to go down that route given my history, and so for that reason I wanted to ensure that I was looking after my mind and doing everything I could to ensure that I was taking positive action to look after my mind and look after my well-being as well as my daughter's. And don't get me wrong, that was quite a challenge because there is so much going on when you've got a new baby.
I can imagine for you. It's very true. I also know that you obviously jotted everything down, your thoughts and your feelings.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of writing things down, but in a structured way. So, and that's what I've tried to incorporate into my book, is there are some activities you can do that only take a few minutes, and when you've got a new child you really only have a few minutes, but just the power of just writing those down, and even if it's just a few words, sometimes that can really help you to kind of remember where you are and just ground you a bit when things are slightly challenging. And also on days when they're not, it's really nice to reflect on the good things and just take that moment to recognize how much you're enjoying where you are.
It's finding the positives in life, isn't it, Kathleen? It really is. So your book is called Mastering Motherhood. It's available from a website which you've put together as well.
Yeah, so it's masteringmotherhood.co.uk.
It's priced at £30. We will promote the book because you've been good enough to come in here today. And anyway, it's maybe somewhere that some people might find a bit of a lifeline to their future in terms of their mental health. And you can find it also on some of the big online providers. We won't mention their names, but we will say that because your website is masteringmotherhood.co.uk. So say the book is £30. It's called Mastering Motherhood. The author who we're talking to right now is with us, is Kathleen, who's, as I say, you heard a little bit of a story about what's happened to Kathleen in this decade, Kathleen Crawley, who's been our guest this morning. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing your thoughts with us. And we should mention a new women's show on Cambridge 105 Radio. The first edition went out last Saturday at 2 o'clock. It's fortnightly. It's called Women Making Waves. It's presented by Linda Ness and Susie Thorpe, who people will know very well who listen to regularly on this radio station. You've actually recorded a piece with Linda.
Which is going out
very shortly on transmission. I'm not sure if this is the next edition. I should say the next edition of the show will be on Cambridge 105 Radio on Saturday the 15th of September at 2 o'clock. I'm not sure whether you've been put into the mix for that particular edition with Linda and Susie. But thank you, Kathleen, very much for coming in and joining us today.
Thank you very much.